Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Let's do a mock and make some deals. Oh, and let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today we've got a two-round NFL mock draft for your eyes and your ears. Of course, you can watch it over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Subscribe today and click that little bell till it goes ding for notifications. And to help me break it all down and to do this two-round draft, which, by the way, we're going to have trades in today. So things are going to get wacky. Things are going to get crazy. We're already starting at a very high fever pitch. We've got the Minnesota Madman, Thor Nystrom. We've got D-Bro, Derek Brown, the King of Bros. And finally, somebody to class up the joint around here, Trevor Sikkema from PFF. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Tampa Bay Trey. And the gentlemen have spent some time in the salt mines figuring out which teams want to move up, who wants to move out. And of course, we're going to talk about that and break it all down for you guys. So let's start at the very top here of the show. Trevor, you're the guest. You had the first overall pick. So who are the Carolina Panthers taking?
Bryce Young. It's got to be Bryce Young. He's the best player in college football over the last two seasons. And because of that, even with a pretty strong quarterback class, it's given us a lot of fun things to talk about. I think he's got to be the guy there. So he's Carolina's franchise savior. And I do think that he's going to be in Carolina for a long, long time as they continue to build out that offense. This is the guy, in my opinion, that you want to build it around. So love the coaching staff that he has getting right in there right away. And it's not going to be long before Carolina is really putting up some serious points. I really think that.
And you do believe he is the week one starter, if indeed this is the pick?
Has to be. Yeah. He's one of those guys where, yeah, throughout the class, like, even you could throw in CJ Stroud in with Anthony Richardson and Will Levis and probably the rest of the quarterback class where you probably wouldn't want him to start right away. Bryce Young's different. Like, Bryce Young, in my opinion, would be the week one starter basically the day he is drafted, no matter what team drafts him. He's just that kind of a caliber player.
All right, let's go to number two here. The Houston Texans are on the clock. Derek Brown, you are up next.
Well, Joe, I love to just see the watch the world burn.
Yes.
So I'm not going to go with the chalk answer of CJ Stroud here. I'm going to stay with quarterbacks. I'm going to go with quarterback out of Kentucky, Will Levis, for the Houston Texans. We've seen a few things hit the news line as far as like CJ Stroud being tough to coach. I don't necessarily agree with that, but if he does fall down the board, even from pick two to pick three, it's possible. Let's see what happens with Will Levis in Houston.
All right. So Will Levis, something different. I can feel the YouTube comments surfacing right now on the Will Levis number two pick. But you also pointed out that there was some, you know, some buzz here going on about Stroud a little bit and how Houston might not be that guy. If they make this pick, if this is what happens, this is why Houston continues to spin their wheels. And this is why they're a bad organization. Take the better player, figure it out. Sorry, I just have a lot of passion about this. Now we have our first trade here at the number three spot. So take me through it, because Trevor, you have moved up here as the Indianapolis Colts to make a selection. They must be loving life in this scenario because now CJ Stroud is on the board. So is that the pick for the Colts?
Yeah.
You're welcome, Trevor, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. No, you're in a spot where I think Indianapolis kind of has to move up. I thought Indianapolis was going to be the team that had to move up to number one, honestly. And then Carolina kind of shocks the world and gives up the price to move all the way up there, because it felt like this was Indy in the driver's seat. They had to go get a quarterback. They wanted to get the best one in this class. And I think they just kind of sat back on their heels and were a little bit too comfortable. Maybe we're very comfortable doing the negotiation game. And here they sit still at number four. But in this mock draft, I feel like they still had to get aggressive with two quarterbacks off the board. Don't chance it. Don't just get QB4 in this class, no matter who it's going to be. You know, Arizona is going to be picking up the phone, calling a lot of different teams for somebody to trade up for a quarterback. Why not Indianapolis? Just move up one spot. It won't cost you a lot. And instead, you get to have your pick of, in this case, CJ Stroud or Anthony Richardson. I'm going to go with CJ Stroud. He's QB2 for me on my board. So with him still being here, I like the idea of him getting involved in this offense and a lot of nice pieces that they already have. We've already seen in college football what CJ Stroud could be when you put good offensive weapons around him. So in theory, the Colts offense should still be good. The offensive line should bounce back a little bit. You got good receivers. You have Jonathan Taylor. So this is an ideal spot for CJ Stroud, I think.
All right. So that gift handed to you by Derek Brown means that Thor, you moved back a spot with Arizona at the four pick. So who do you take at number four?
Yeah, if Houston gets wonky and doesn't take CJ Stroud at two, which is some of the indications that we've been given, that puts Arizona in the driver's seat. Their phone line's already ringing off the hook, certainly will be when they're on the clock. The teams are probably waiting to see who's going to be available there, so you might not see this trade until they are on the clock or whatever. But in this case, you still have, obviously, Will Anderson still on the board, Tyree Wilson still on the board, Jalen Carter still on the board. So you have some blue chip prospects still on the board. We only moved down one slot as Arizona. We pick up a third rounder this year, a fifth rounder this year, and a third round pick next year. And we pay the guy that we were going to take anyway a little bit less because of the slot. We're taking Will Anderson. And I think that this is going to be the discussion in the Arizona room. I expect the trade for sure. Do you want to go way further down the board, not be able to get one of these blue chip guys, but pick up the future draft equity? You know, like a team like the Vikings, for instance, would probably have to give up two future first round picks in order to make that move up to three. Or do you want to just go skip down just a little bit? This one is only one slot. You're still getting a little bit of future draft equity less, but you're going to still be in position to take that blue chip guy and Will Anderson. So that's who we're taking it for.
Take the blue chip guys. They don't grow on trees. That's what I always say. All right, let's get to the next pick here. Number five spot, Seattle. One of many picks. D-Bro, who do they select?
Stopping the fall early here, guys. Jalen Carter is heading to Seattle. Look, Seattle has made a premium on stopping the run over multiple seasons. They lose Puna Ford in free agency. His ability to plug run-stuffing holes. Without him, you need Jalen Carter there. He was fifth in PFF run defensive grade last year. I think it's a fantastic pick.
Feels very Pete Carroll-y to me. Number six, Thor, you're back on the clock with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, speaking of trades, they just traded Jeffrey Okuda. They had a cornerback need even before then, and I know that they love Devin Witherspoon of Illinois. The definition of kneecap biter prospect is Devin Witherspoon, best cornerback in this class. The only question was, how was he going to test? Because he's in a little bit of a smaller frame. He tested just fine to lock himself into the top 10. And I think Detroit is the team that is all over Devin Witherspoon. So we're sending the Illinois cornerback to the Lions.
All right. So Witherspoon at six to the Lions. We definitely need a corner help there. Interesting that he's the first corner off the board in this draft. Now, next up at seven, Trevor, you're back up with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Christmas came in April with this one. I mean, Vegas gets to sit at seven and still gets Anthony Richardson. That's going to be my pick here. I think that Las Vegas, with the money that they gave Jimmy Garoppolo, is comfortable sitting at seven. They're not one of those teams that's super desperate to move up to number three. They probably had talks about moving up to number one before the deal was made with Carolina, but then they go out and they sign Jimmy. And I think they're to the point where they believe they don't have to give up the extra draft capital to go get a quarterback. They can get more aggressive next year if they want to do that, and they can't get one at seven. But here, it's too easy. If you get a player with the ceiling of Anthony Richardson in Las Vegas at number seven, you didn't have to trade up for him. It's a dream come true. He gets to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit, which I think is probably what's going to happen. You know, I don't know if it's going to be half of the first year, the full first year, whatever it is, but this guy behind him, Anthony Richardson, would be the future for sure.
So that's the pick for Trevor. And Trevor, of course, works at PFF, and we're using the PFF software for the draft today, as you can see once again. So shout out to them. And thank you, Trevor, for letting us use it again. Just you. I know you designed it. You made it all work. I'm well aware of this. All right, let's go to the next pick here. The Atlanta Falcons at eight. Derek Brown, you're on the clock.
I think it's a question of not what position they go with, but who they go with here. I think they're going edge. We're seeing a lot of buzz about Nolan Smith maybe going in the top 10. I'm going to go with Tyree Wilson heading to Atlanta this time. Atlanta was 32nd in pressure rate last year. You got nowhere to go but up from that Wilson's going to definitely help them. He was 23rd in pass rush win rate last year, so definitely a position of need, and Tyree is extremely talented.
All right, let's continue on here with the ninth pick. Thor, that's back to you here with the Chicago Bears. The pick is in.
Yeah, the Bears desperately need to increase their sack production on the defensive side, but with Tyree Wilson, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, all those guys off the board, we're going to defer to our other biggest need, which is offensive line. I'm following the money trail on this one with what's happened in the betting market the past week. Peter Skoronski, who before was number two or number three on the betting boards to be first offensive lineman off the board, assumed the favorite status last week. Chicago, the local team, needs an offensive lineman, and if those top three defensive front guys are off the board at this point, I think there's a decent shot that Skoronski stays close to home by the Bears taking him at nine.
Dicka, Skoronski, the Bears, all sounds good to me. All right, let's wrap up the first 10 picks here with the Eagles. Trevor, you are on the clock.
Nolan Smith feels like their type, and so I'm gonna go with Nolan Smith here for Philadelphia. An extremely athletic pass rusher who is still figuring out the pass rush part, right? He wasn't really allowed to do it nearly as much at Georgia because, in his own words, when you put your hand in the dirt and when you're playing on the defensive line at Georgia, you're two-gapping, right? That's your responsibility. You're trying to clog up the defensive line, clog up all the blocks, and leave the linebackers free to make plays. And that's what they've done over the last 2 years to be back-to-back national champions. But as we saw at the combine, insane athletic potential. You get to put him on a defensive line that doesn't need him to start right away. Play next to a guy who a lot of people comp him to in Hassan Reddick. I think this is a perfect spot for Nolan Smith.
All right, the first 10 picks are in. These guys are winners, obviously, hopefully for their teams. And we've got a winner too, because we keep telling everybody we're giving away premium subs here for our Fantasy Pros Premium. And Ryan C., you're the big winner. So congratulations to Ryan C. Get in touch with us at customer support over mailbag at fantasypros.com. Again, that's mailbag at fantasypros.com with proof of your subscription to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel and your current fantasypros.com username, and we'll take care of the rest. So Ryan C., congratulations. You're the big winner. And if you want to be a big winner like Ryan, well, be a subscriber of the channel. Click the bell till it goes ding and drop a comment below here, probably about Derek Brown selecting Will Levis. Maybe that was something you might want to talk about. But it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you can go ahead and throw your hat in the ring. And if you don't want to wait, again, fantasypros.com/premium. That is the way to go in order to get all of the tools that you need to unlock your best fantasy performance. I know if you're watching this, you take fantasy football very seriously, almost too seriously. So you might as well go all the way with it and go premium. Again, fantasypros.com/premium. Let's continue on. Number 11 here, Thor, you're back on the clock for the Titans. What do you got?
Yeah, congrats to Ryan C. for being the big winner. If the board plays out this way in front of the Titans, they will be big winners. Titans, a team that has a glaring need for an immediate start offensive tackle. This scenario, the two guys that are for sure sitting dead right on the transition to playing tackle in the NFL and can play immediately, Paris Johnson and Broderick Jones, still on the board. Tennessee gets their choice of them. We're going to give them Paris Johnson in this one. Little bit cleaner than Broderick Jones.
All right, number 12, the Houston Texans, Derek Brown. What do they take next?
So I think that this position obviously is a need for the Texans, but they could go this route. They could go this at two. I have them addressing it at 12. I'm going to give them edge out of Iowa, Lucas Van Ness. I mean, we know that they were only 20th in pressure rate last year. You got Van Ness. He is going to be a plus run defender. And he was 18th in sacks, 25th in QB hurries. So he's giving you a multitude of skills for the defensive line.
Yeah, they haven't had much of a pass rush since the J.J. Watt days. All right, the New York Jets up at 13, if they still have this pick. Who knows? Maybe Aaron Rodgers someday will be a Jet. And who knows if that'll ever happen? I don't know. I did see a fun AI picture of him with the Jets, though, in our meeting. So that was a good time. But Derek Brown, you're up next here at 13 for the Jets. What do they select if indeed they keep this pick here?
AI or no AI, the best selection on the board right now is Broderick Jones. Tackle is going to head to the Jets. He's 14th in PFF pass protection grade last year. He's a decent zone blocking guy as far as the run game as well. You've had problems at tackle positions for the Jets. Mekhi Becton can't stay healthy. They have Max Mitchell, who's good but not great. So they really need to at least upgrade this position and see who wins out of Mitchell and Becton on the other side.
Okay, next up is the New England Patriots at 14. Trevor, these are my boys. What are you going to give them?
Darnell Wright's one of my favorite offensive tackles in this class. And so for the Patriots to be able to address a big need of theirs along the offensive line with a player like Darnell Wright, the right tackle from Tennessee, makes a ton of sense to me. He also just feels like a Patriots player, very much a mauler. Like you love his mentality. He's a finisher through and through. He loves to take the fight to the pass rushers that are coming at him. And so I feel like he is one of the more well-rounded offensive tackles. And we often talk about the big three. You know, it's Peter Skoronski, it's Paris Johnson Jr., it's Broderick Jones. I think Darnell Wright should absolutely be in that conversation, if not the top half of that conversation, to make it a big four with the offensive tackle. So then getting him at 14, I think that's really good.
High praise there for Darnell Wright from Trevor. All right, let's get to 15 here. The Green Bay Packers. Thor, you're on the clock.
Yeah, the Packers need pass catchers, both the wide receiver and in the tight end room. If you'd mocked a first-round receiver to the Packers anytime in the last decade, you would be wrong. So we're going to give them a tight end. Their tight end depth chart right now is Josiah DeGara, Tyler Davis, and Nick Galapagos Islands. They need another tight end to play there, specifically one that can catch the ball. Best one in this class by margin is Dalton Kincaid. So we're going to send Dalton Kincaid to Green Bay.
There you go. Let's go. All right. Next up, the Washington Commanders. Derek Brown, you're on the clock for 16.
I cannot let Christian Gonzalez fall out of the top 20. He is going to head to the Commanders. Oh, you're going to give a long-term running mate with Benjamin St. Juste on the outside. This would allow them to move Kendall Fuller back into the slot, too. So I think really that's the trio of corners you want on the field at all times. Washington had a good defense last year. This would really be a big boost for their secondary.
Okay. Again, a lot of these players are going to make huge impacts this year, and we want you to make a huge impact in all your leagues. And right now, our NFL draft guide is available at fantasypros.com/draft guide. So I just want everybody to be in this, to be aware of it. It's got all the player profiles, the mock drafts that we've all been doing. It's like a mock draft a day around these parts. You got the big boards, you got the prop bets. Derek Brown and I have been talking a ton about some of those already here over on Betting Pros. So we've got you covered for all that stuff, and we get it for free. And I know you like free stuff because God knows I do. Premium subscribers also get access to the NFL draft position ranking. So again, if you go premium, you get even more. But 2023 NFL Draft Guide, it's live, it's ready, it's free. fantasypros.com/draft guide. Go get it. Let's go get another pick two here. Number 17, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Trevor, you're up next.
Man, Christian Gonzalez last name is 16. Washington would be to the moon about that. I was just thinking about that over the last couple of minutes. Joey Porter Jr. has to be my pick here. You get the legacy pick, right? Joey Porter, longtime linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now his son getting drafted by the Steelers, who have a big corner need, right? I don't think the Patrick Peterson signing in free agency deters them from taking a corner in round one, especially if one of Joey Porter Jr.'s caliber is there. So him being still on the board at 17 and with the run on offensive tackles, drying things up a lot in that category. I think that they're going to go corner and Joey Porter Jr.
The Lions are up next at 18. Thor, that's back to you.
Yeah, obviously the Lions need all kinds of defensive help. Earlier, we gave them Devin Witherspoon to help replace Jeff Okuda. With this pick, we're going to take Pittsburgh defensive tackle Kalijah Kancey, who has just ridiculous movement skills. He's drawn some comps to Aaron Donald. I don't think that's as close as for instance, Ed Oliver or Lance Zierlein's comp for him, John Randall. That's more of the kind of instant penetration that you're getting with Kalijah Kancey. Last year, he had a 22.7% pressure rate, which is 6.4% higher than Jalen Carter's, 8.2% higher than Brian Brisset's. Would plug a big hole for Detroit. You put him next to Hutchinson over the next decade, they're going to be getting after the quarterback.
John Randall, that's high praise right there. All right, let's get to the next pick on the board. Number 19, Tampa Bay. Trevor, you're on the clock.
Yeah, this is the last one of what I would consider like a big five of the offensive tackles that could go in the first round. Anton Harrison from Oklahoma. I'm going to have him go here because Tampa moved on from their longtime left tackle, Donovan Smith, this past offseason. It was just making too much money, and it made more sense on the cap to let him go. They have Tristan Wirfs on one side. Now you're getting another really good offensive lineman, an experienced one in Anton Harrison. 3 straight years starting at left tackle since his true freshman season for the Sooners. I thought he's been a really good pass blocker up to this point, and he really well rounded out his scouting profile, getting a lot stronger this season as well. So I think he'll be an instant starter for Tampa.
Certainly going to help. That line had a lot of injuries last year. Let's get to number 20, another Seattle Seahawk pick, Derek Brown. That means you.
Well, I'm going to go and strengthen an area. A lot of people could say this is not an area of need, but if you're a team and a lot of good team building, it comes down to what also do we do well and can we go from good to great in an area? Adding Jaxon Smith-Njigba to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett can absolutely do that and make Geno Smith's day a lot easier. The other thing you want to point to here is that Tyler Lockett's going to be 32 next year, and they could save $9 million against the cap if they cut him after that. So both a look to the now and to the future.
Okay, let's continue to look to the future for next up, the Chargers at 21. Trevor, back to you.
Speed. They need speed. I know they kept a lot of the guys in the receiver room, but they still need speed. And for that, I'm not taking Jalen Hyatt. I'm not the biggest Jalen Hyatt fan, especially when it comes to the first round, but I am a big Flowers fan. He is electric, man. I mean, he truly brings a lot of that speed into an offense, and not just deep speed, right? People think of speed and they go, oh, okay, it's got to be like a DeSean Jackson type or a Will Fuller type. Doesn't necessarily have to be that. They just need better speed overall to stretch the field somehow, horizontally, vertically, all that. I think Zay Flowers brings you that ability. He's my wide receiver 3 in this class. I like him a lot. He reminds you a lot of Antonio Brown, with how he is able to accelerate while changing direction, while changing in his routes. You don't often get those kinds of wide receivers every day, and Zay Flowers is one of them.
That is a high comp and high praise. One can only hope that he lives up to it, and one can only hope he makes less music videos than Antonio Brown as well.
Yes.
Continuing on in this draft, we got a wide receiver run, JSN going at 20, then Zay Flowers at 21. The Giants up next. Trevor, they could use some wide receiver help. We're going to stay here with this run.
Yeah. So I had the Giants moving up in this one, jumping Minnesota, because we already saw it, like you said, Jackson the Jigba, and then Zay Flowers, and Minnesota needs a wide receiver. So the Giants probably just don't want to end up with, I don't know, whoever is left for them a little bit further down the order. So I had them trading up, going to get Quentin Johnston. He is the one wide receiver that kind of rounds out what they already have. They've got a lot of smaller wide receivers, but Quentin gives you that bigger frame. He's not the best contested catch guy. It's not like he's a tall possession kind of a player, but he gives you a good size for the athleticism that he has. And we saw him really put on a show, I think, this past year with TCU, although he was making up for subpar quarterback play as well. So you get him in a better situation, better quarterback, and I think this guy's really going to thrive.
Thor, somehow you got the draft for the Vikings at 23, so go ahead. You're the kid in the candy store. What are you getting?
Yeah, we're going to be closing out the wide receiver run here. Trevor trades ahead of us to take Quentin Johnston. There's only one of the big four receivers left on the board. This is an easy decision for the Vikings. We're taking Jordan Addison here. Vikings have a glaring hole on the other side from Justin Jefferson, and they have to disincentivize defenses from bracketing and double-teaming Jefferson every single play. The way you do that is having a guy on the other side that's going to beat single coverage. That is not KJ Osborne. Addison won the Biletnikoff in 2021 as a slot receiver for Pitt. Last offseason, transferred to USC. He played on the boundary there on the perimeter. He showed that he can do that. With the Vikings signing Josh Oliver, it's going to be more 12 personnel going forward. So you need the outside guy on the other side. Jordan Addison will beat that single coverage that Adam Thielen was just not consistently doing last year.
So the Giants moving up to 22 to leapfrog to take Quentin Johnston, then Jordan Addison to the Vikings at 23. That's four straight wide receivers. Derek Brown, the Jacksonville Jaguars at 24, don't need a wide receiver. What do they need?
Nope. They're going to stop the run of wide receivers. They're going to go with safety Brian Branch. This defense for Jacksonville needs a desperate upgrade at the safety position. Mm. Andrew Sisco and Rayshon Jenkins are not getting it done. You have Branch, who's also going to offer them versatility. He was 18th in coverage grade last year, and he can play nickel. So what you're looking at, Darius Williams possibly also being on the outside this year. He could play nickel as well. They do have some flexibility there for Branch, who had the second most slot snaps last year of any safety and allowed a 71.5 passer rating in slot coverage.
All right, continuing on here, 25, pardon me, the Baltimore Ravens also make a trade to move up here. Trevor, you're on the clock.
Yeah, so this is the second part of this trade with the Giants. So
the swap. Baltimore, sorry about that.
Moving back a little bit, picking up an extra fourth and a fifth round pick, and they still get their guy. They still end up getting Deontay Banks, who is one of my favorite corners in this class. I mean, I just think he's a man coverage machine, and that is what Baltimore needs. I feel like that's what Baltimore was lacking. It's part of the defensive identity that we have associated with the Ravens defense for a long time. That just wasn't the case last year. So you need to get back to that. I think you need to get back to that identity, and Deontay Banks definitely has you do that.
All right. Going next now, the Dallas Cowboys at 26. So Thor, you're on the clock. What does Dallas do?
If Bijan Robinson's still here, this will be a run the card up moment for the Cowboys. It would help to replace Ezekiel Elliott. Obviously, you're keeping him in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. This is a very easy pick if Bijan gets there. Will he go in the top 25? We don't know, but I can tell you his floor is number 26 with Dallas.
All right, so that's a huge move there. And just, you know, some of these assets that are going off the board right now in terms of the Fantasy Pros Championship, in terms of some of the ADP, Bijan going 10th overall, by the way. JSN 69th overall, Addison 117, Zay Flowers 129 right now. And if you're asking, well, what's the Fantasy Pros Championship all about? Well, I'll tell you, because you can be a part of it and you can win somewhere in the total of $1 million as the grand prize winner. $6 million in total prizes is available. And it's right there. The free Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros subscriptions are up for grabs as well. So if you sign up now at fantasypros.com/championship, again, that's fantasypros.com/championship, and use that promo code FantasyPros. I know you can remember that. That's pretty easy. You save $25 off your entry. And if you enter before June 1st and draft before June 15th to score an extra $35 early bird credit, you're a very smart person. So go ahead, make your entry. Each league gets 12 teams in it, and you'll navigate just 12-week regular season schedule, just like always, waivers, lineups, no trading. You're not allowed to do that, but the top two seeds in each league go on to the playoffs, and they advance to the championship round and compete for that $1 million prize, and that could be you. Could be anybody out there. So don't miss out. Visit fantasypros.com/championship today and use that promo code FantasyPros to get $25 off your entry and keep drafting some of these young players and all these best ball fun formats too, because they are going to make an impact. Thor, who's going to make an impact for Buffalo at 27?
Yeah, the Bills don't have many roster holes, but one that they do is that linebacker when Tremaine Edmonds left there. Tremaine Edmonds, a big physical freaky guy. Let's get the Bills another one in Iowa's Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell was the best linebacker in college football over these past couple of years on the field. Clearly is the best one on the field in this class, but he also just tested as an athletic banshee, 9.98 RAS score in an absolutely enormous frame. I think the Bills slot right here is where we, you know, the clock begins with the linebacker class, and the Bills could lead the dance. They've done a lot of work on this linebacker class. If it turns out they like Jack Campbell as much as I do, he's a top linebacker on my board. I think Jack Campbell has a decent shot of going here.
Derek Brown, you've got back-to-back picks here. Let's start with first at 28 with the Cincinnati Bengals. Who do they take?
I know the Bengals brought in Irv Smith in the offseason, but really that was just a safety pick, so they didn't have to reach, move up if they missed this. But look, they're running the card up to the podium with Michael Mayer making it to them. He's going to be a plug-and-play three-down tight end, even with Irv. That's going to offer them some more versatility to utilize some more 12 personnel. So got to send Mayer to Cincinnati.
All right, who are we sending to New Orleans at 29?
Brian Brise, defensive tackle. The Saints need help at defensive tackle. They lost Daniel Onyemata, Shai Tuttle in the offseason. They brought in some guys who can offer depth like Kalen Saunders, but that's not going to be a starter for the Saints this year. Brise is going to be an adequate, not amazing run defender, but what he can do is get after the quarterback. 21st in pass rush grade last year amongst all defensive tackles with at least 100 snaps. Brise is going to help them bring the heat up the middle.
Trevor, who's going to help Philadelphia at 30?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with defense. I took Nolan Smith at 10. I'm going to go with Emmanuel Forbes here, the corner from Mississippi State. I think the Eagles certainly love guys who have ball skills. They've got two great ones in James Bradbury and Darius Slay. I don't know how much longer. I know they brought both those guys back. I don't know how much longer both are going to be on the team. So if you get Forbes in there, you've got somebody to learn from these two guys. And Forbes needs to gain a little bit of weight, too. Waiting in the combine, just 166 pounds. You got to get him close to 180. Like, you got to figure out how to get him close to 180 to keep him on the field and let him be a starter. So I think that'll buy him some time, and it'll give Philly a really nice cornerback to have in the wings.
Yeah, two guys to learn from, too, that are pretty darn good at their jobs. Let's get to the last pick here at 31. Thor, close us out for the first round with the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning champs.
Yeah, the Chiefs need some edge rusher help. Frank Clark's gone. They do have Carl Loftus and Charles Omenihu, but they definitely need depth. And then hopefully a guy they could take over long term there. I think Miles Murphy would be a really good fit here, the edge rusher from Clemson. A guy who at 268 pounds and almost 6'5", ran a 4.53, 99th percentile this draft process with a 95th percentile 10-yard split. The thing he's awesome at, it's the physical dimensions with that super quick first step. There's some other parts of his game that you need to polish off a bit, but the first year, Miles Murphy could work in off the bench situationally, rushing the passer, and then you try to build him into something going forward. Seems like a pick that would be in line with the Chiefs ethos.
Okay, so there you go. Again, you got to work the word ethos in. So right away, we're much smarter just for having you around on the show. Vocab is expanded. Let's expand to the second round. The first round's in the books. 32 is the pick. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock. Trevor Sikkema, the pick is yours.
Yeah, so they got this one from the Chase Claypool trade with the Chicago Bears. So they have the first selection at the top of the second round. They went Joey Porter Jr. Earlier at number 17. And here I'm going to have them taking DeJuan Jones, the right tackle from Ohio State. It's corner or offensive line. That feels like the two biggest needs for for the Steelers, being able to get DeJuan Jones, play him at right tackle, means to check a core form, can flip over to left, which is what he played at Western Michigan. So I think that you got a comfortable tackle duo there if they can get DeJuan Jones at the top of the second round.
Houston Texans back again at 33. D-Bro, what are you giving them?
Going to go Darnell Washington, tight end out of Georgia. I mean, you get to pair him with Dalton Schultz, so he's not pushed into the full-time role this year. But, I mean, let's think about this, guys. Hyper-athletic mutant, dominant run blocker. Sounds anybody close to what D'Amico Ryans could have seen in practice over the last few years? They could definitely see a little bit of George Kittle. Not totally, but a little bit of George Kittle and Darnell Washington. Let's give him to the Texans.
All right. Arizona up next at 34. Thor, what are you giving him?
Arizona has holes all over. I mean, the worst roster in the NFL, probably.
It's like a Swiss cheese block. That's what it is, my friend.
All over the place. We're going to give them Jahmyr Gibbs here, who would be the running back from Alabama, would be an enormous help to that offense. Some people, you might be like, why are you taking a running back in the top 40 with Arizona if they have so many holes? We know that they're going to recoup some picks by trading down from three, whether it's one slot like we had it or a little bit less. In the exercise we did, we gave them two extra picks on day three. So it gives them a little bit more latitude for a pick like this. Jahmyr Gibbs would be a very good complimentary back for James Conner, although the other way around, Conner would be complimenting him. But you could give Conner the between the tackle work that he excels at, the hammer guy. And then Jahmyr Gibbs is going to do all your space stuff. Plus, he's going to be your kick returner on day one.
All right. And by the way, in the Fantasy Pros Championship so far, looking at the early ADP, Jahmyr Gibbs is 51st overall. So he could work a ton here, potentially, if he does land in Arizona. So that's an interesting ADP for him already. That's going to rise as time goes on. So go get the early bird special and go draft early. Next up, Trevor at 35 with the Colts. What are you doing?
Yeah, if the Colts are going quarterback in the first round, they should definitely look to offensive line in the second round. Osiris Torrence is still here on the board, and getting Osiris Torrence and Quinn Nelson in the same interior offensive line is filthy. I mean, those are just two absolute bullies, especially in the run game. So if you're anybody out there who owns a Jonathan Taylor stock in any sort of dynasty league, you're very, very happy about this because it just means that's going to be more yards there for him to gain even before contact. So they need offensive line anyways. And if there's a good one to get at the top of the second round, that's where they should look.
The Rams at 36, Thor, the pick is yours. The floor is yours. Go to it.
We're going to take the Stromboli-loving, red-haired, gap-toothed smile offensive tackle from North Dakota State, Cody Mock. The Rams, they're another team that has so many holes. This is their first pick here of the entire draft. Obviously, they don't have the first rounder. Moke will be a guy that you could put into your lineup right away, either at right tackle or what I think he's going to be at the next level is a guard. He is the most – I'm going to give you another one, Joey, for your word of the day. Most ambulatory offensive lineman in this class, potentially. Just absolutely devastating to linebackers on the second level. And then also when you pull them around, NDSU has just a super fun run game. And they use Cody Mock as a weapon in that, sending him out, picking guys off in the second level, moving him around at the end where he can wipe someone out as well. Think this one would be a good fit. And he gives you a little bit of position versatility as well.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and look up ambulatory here in the dictionary. While I do that, why don't you make a pick, Derek Brown, for the Seahawks at 37?
I had to mute myself. I was cackling because I was like, is he Googling what ambulatory means?
I'm looking it up. Like old school dictionary. I'm old school here. Come on. I got the thesaurus over here, which I'm going to need for next show. All before, right. Let me tell you.
Well, while you lingualize a little bit there, I'm going to make this pick for Seattle. My guy does not have red hair, and I think he has all of his teeth. But I'm going to go with cornerback Cam Smith out of South Carolina. You give Tariq Woolen a long-term running mate on the outside as a full-time starter from year one. I'm with it, man. Seattle has the ability to add a lot of premium players and shore up holes and really cement this team and this roster for now and the future. Cam Smith should be a big part of that.
All right. I'm sure he likes Stromboli's, though, because everybody likes Stromboli's. They're delicious.
Of course.
All right. So let's continue on here. Las Vegas is up again at 38. Trevor, what are you giving him?
I'm going to go Matthew Bergeron. This is, again, a situation where if Vegas is getting a quarterback in round one, you better fortify the offensive line in front of him to make life a little bit easier. And I like Bergeron a lot. I think that he's got a sneaky chance to go in round one. He's a little bit limited athletically and with his size. It's kind of the same way that you talk about Peter Skoronski. You're going to talk about Matthew Bergeron. But the pros are there for both of these guys. Really solid offensive lineman, natural offensive lineman. Can play guard for you or tackle. So there's just a lot of versatility and there's a lot to like with them. Even if you think they're a little bit limited with what they can do on the outside of tackle, you just know you got a damn good offensive lineman that you're going to get at one of those five starting spots.
So Tampa Bay Trey does not pick a 39 here for the box. Instead, Derek Brown's going to make the selection. So, D-Bro, what happened here?
Well, they made a trade with the Panthers to get up to this spot so they could hop the Saints, who have been supposedly sniffing around some quarterback markets, although that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, the Titans and Atlanta, and they are going to select Hendon Hooker. So I get that this could look like there's a glut of quarterbacks in Tampa. You got Kyle Trask, who I've never been high on, and Todd Bowles, yeah, he was there as a defensive coordinator, but we don't know if Trask was his guy. He's pounding the table for that guy in the draft when they selected him. I know they got Baker Mayfield, but he's on a one-year, $4 million deal. Who knows if he even makes it out of freaking camp. This is a team that's a veteran-laden roster, so I'm going to give them a quarterback that, as long as he's healthy coming off the ACL, could push to start as soon as this year. And I think that's a big part of Hendon Hooker's landing spot because, I mean, we know the age. Guy's going to come out of his rookie contract being 30. So he needs to go to a place where he could possibly play immediately, and that Tampa offers that spot for him.
Okay, going forward here in the draft, the next selection after Hendon Hooker goes to 39 to the Bucs is number 40, Derek Brown. That's also you with the New Orleans Saints.
They're going to keep adding to the defense here, replenishing and helping a unit that was strong last year and continue to be strong in the future. I'm going to give them cornerback Kelee Ringo out of Georgia. New Orleans was 58-61% zone coverage last year. And if you look at Ringo, it's a good mix for him. He only allowed an 80.8 passer rating in zone coverage.
Okay, so Ringo off the board. That means the Tennessee Titans are up next. Thor at 41.
Yeah, we plugged the tackle hole before for Tennessee with Paris Johnson. They still have an enormous need at wide receiver outside of Treylon Burks, the projected two starters. It's Nick Westbrook, Akina, and Kyle Phillips right now. You need to add to that, and you need to add an explosive element as well. Jalin Hyatt is still here, obviously a local kid. We'll keep him in Tennessee, and we'll send him to the Titans.
If only there was a quarterback to throw him the football, wouldn't that be nice? All right, let's get to the Jets with back-to-back picks here, 42 and 43. So this is the Derek Brown section of the show. So D-Bro, let's go through here in your rock block. Let's start off here with the Jets, first of two.
They're going to replace a need. They lost Connor McGovern at center in free agency. They're going to take John Michael Schmitz, center out of Minnesota. I mean, they want somebody that can help in their zone run blocking scheme. There is nobody better than JMS. Like, this dude was first in zone run blocking grade last year. So give them the ability to maul up front for maybe Aaron Rodgers coming to town. He's going to love it.
Well, I'll believe it when I see
we
it.
We shall see.
Next up, 43, the Jets, 2 of 2.
So this kind of comes to a now and plus future, looking at have their cap situation and stuff for next year. They can cut CJ Mosley after this year and save $11 million after the cap or against the cap. I'm going to give them Drew Sanders, linebacker out of Arkansas. He's been mocked all over the place. I think he could easily go well ahead of this, but considering he's fallen into the 40s, I think the Jets would be very happy with this pick.
And to close out the Derek Brown portion of the show, the Atlanta Falcons at 44.
Remaking their defensive line needs to be a priority for this franchise. And we talked about you got nowhere to go but up with pressure rate. Give them Will McDonald, defensive edge. He was 31st in PFF pass rushing grade last year. I think that, again, you're looking for somebody that can start and start early. McDonald fits that bill.
All right, 45, Green Bay. Thor, you're on the clock. What do the Packers do?
Yeah, we're going to give we plugged the tight end hole earlier in this exercise. This one, we are going to give them, and Joe, I almost want you to say it because you do it better
than anybody. I want to hear Trevor say it today because I say it all the time. I can't believe you even made this pick based on your fear of saying the name improperly. Trevor, could you read the pick out? Because I want to hear somebody else besides me pronounce it.
The pronunciation is Adetemiwa Adewale.
See, Adetemiwa Adewale. It's just not that hard, Thor.
I can't tell you how much I was sweating on the PFF show during the Senior Bowl when he was going nuts and I had barely said his name up to that point throughout the draft process. And so we're going live in like 15 minutes and I'm like, and I'm like trying to do it. Joe knows what I'm talking about. You got to know all the names to make sure everything flows.
You guys get off easy. You guys do college football and NFL stuff. I've got 5,000 baseball players in my name, in my head right now. Not to mention all the NBA guys I just covered this week for Betting Pros. So yeah, that's why my mind is mush. But Adetemiwa Adebowale, go ahead, Thor, talk about him.
Oh, man, and you're getting even better at that, Joey. So Adebowale, hard name to say, but the ceiling of this guy is just super duper high. He's a shade under 6'2" and only 282 pounds, but he has a wingspan of 6'10". And then test 4.49 40. That was the best that we've had from an interior defensive lineman. 20-yard split was 99.9 percentile, as was his 10-yard split. Vertical jump, 99.8 percentile, and the broad jump was as well. Athletic freak guy who was stranded on a really bad Northwestern team. He had to do a lot. If you can get him into your scheme, just plug him into a spot and then work on polishing some of the rough edges of his game, you could get a super duper steal here in round two with a guy who has physical dimensions that you just don't see every day.
Thor says words like ethos and ambulatory, and I say words like Adebowale. This is why we all work together here as one unit on the show. 46, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be making this pick now, Derek Brown. Talk about how they made it to 46.
Sycamore and I, apparently I've got him on speed dial. We made a deal earlier in this one.
You
and
guys
apparently
are very friendly. Yeah.
I'm whispering sweet words into his ear yet again. And so the Bengals are going to move up here. And I still think it's firmly in the range of outcomes that they cut Joe Mixon off of this
Agreed.
Roster.
Agreed.
They can save a good bit of salary by doing so. So they are going to trade up in front of Washington, Detroit, Carolina, Miami, all these other different teams. And they're going to take Zach Charbonnet, running back out of UCLA. You could look at Charbonnet and a lot of people are like, oh, he's big, he's boring, he's maybe not great. I push back against that adamantly. He was 14th in yards after contact per attempt last year, 13th in PFF receiving grade. You're looking at a guy that could play all three downs and catch passes. Cincinnati is going to be very, very happy, one, with saving the money, because that goes in T. Higgins' pocket this upcoming offseason.
Trevor, you've been quiet because the boys have been making a lot of picks here in a row, but I want to get your take on this prospect too and that fit potentially with Cincinnati. What do you think of Charbonnet to the Bengals?
I like Charbonnet a lot. He is one of the biggest backs that we have in this class that you're going to consider taking, certainly within the top three rounds, top four rounds. Mm-hmm. And he's a lot of fun. You pop in on his tape with UCLA, and you know, it's funny, the Pac-12 plays a little bit faster, a little bit smaller of a brand of football. There's just a lot more speed. Things are more spread out. It's just kind of the way the conference is kind of building itself to go up against each other in inter-conference competition. And then you look at Zach Charbonnet and you go, man, he looks so different. Like he's just a different player. And then you remember that he transferred from the Big Ten. He transferred from Michigan. So it is in fact a different type of player that is there, but he's got great contact balance. He sees the field really well. And I don't think his speed is that big of a problem. Yeah, sure. He's not going to break off the 60, 50 yard runs in the NFL, but you have many more opportunities to gain those extra 2-3 yards than you do break open the big ones. And so I find his skill set a lot more translatable, something that you can get a consistent return on investment from, than just betting on these smaller, much faster players. So like, I like Charbonnet a lot. He's somebody who I could see pretty early on getting into a NFL rotation.
In FFPC's Fantasy Pros Championship, by the way, he is going currently at an ADP of 83 overall, just to give people a little bit of an idea. Next up on the clock is the Washington Commanders at 47. Derek Brown, you're up next. You're on mute, which is what I would prefer to have you on most of the time, but for the purposes of the rest of our audience, let's hear what you have to say.
Totally freeven myself. You hate to see it. I really do.
I hope we keep that in the show. That's my only thing. Continue on. Make your pick.
Fine. The pick will be, because I could feel Thor looking over my shoulder right now, and I know who he's possibly thinking about, especially with the upcoming teams. Thor, you're not getting Sammy Ballgame, baby. Sam Laporta is heading to Washington. I think, again, you're looking at, the quarterback situation up in the air. What can we control? Because obviously the Commanders are not going to get into the quarterback market by trading up and stuff like that. We can add skill players around who is ever under center. Logan Thomas will be 32 this year. They could save $5 million by cutting him this year, $7 million if they cut him next year against the cap. Sam Laporta is going to be an offensive weapon, a pass catcher from the word go. Played 20% of his snaps on the boundary last year. He is a missed tackles machine. I think he's going to be awesome in the NFL.
All right, we're in the home stretch now. So at 48, Thor, the Detroit Lions select.
Keon White. We've heard some whispers that Detroit wants to add to their edge rushing depth chart, even though they put a lot of equity into that, obviously, in recent years. Keon White, athletic freak, 9.92 RAS, in a really big package. He has some versatility too. Play him on the edge. He'll set the edge for you. Then you can move him inside potentially on passing downs. That Detroit obviously needs a lot of help on defense, as we were mentioning before. So this is a guy that they could look at in round two.
Okay. Next up is the Pittsburgh Steelers again at 49. Trevor, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm having a dream draft for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You get Joey Porter Jr., you get DeJuan Jones, now you get Keanu Benton. Like, these are the three biggest needs that they have, and they're filling them with really good players. Benton is a fantastic interior defensive lineman, was seen as just a run stuffer going into this season, but really got into the lab and worked on his pass rushing profile. He said he wanted to be more of a three down player, not just an early down run stuffer, and he has absolutely shown that he could do that. So he's big, he's strong, he's fast, and now he's kind of well-rounded his game to be a three down lineman. Really good get for them at 49.
And now at 50, Trevor, you're going to continue to make picks here with the Carolina Panthers, who this is the
right
new spot.
So
50
Panthers trading down because Tampa traded up to 39. So this is the second part of that. So they're sitting at 50. Josh Downs is still on the board. And again, you know, I talked about, you know, them drafting Bryce Young at number one. Sure, the receiving room isn't exactly what you wanted to, but as you are going to continue to build that out, he's going to be there. He's going to lean on those guys. Josh Downs is somebody that you're going to be able to lean on right away. He's somebody who I think has played enough at UNC. He's played so many snaps. He's a slot machine master. And I feel like he's going to be a player who can contribute in year one in a lot of different teams, not just for Carolina, but in a lot of different situations. But if this is it, man, he's going to be a heavy target player in year one.
Miami Dolphins at 51. Thor, that's you.
Dolphins first pick of the draft. They need another pass catcher, whether it's at tight end or wide receiver three. The Dolphins last year, lowest percentage of balls thrown to their wide receiver and their tight end room combined. This one, we're going to give them Luke Musgrave, who, you know, fourth tight end. The fifth tight end to go off the board here. He might be the fourth in during the draft. We'll have to see. But he's the perhaps the last one that provides you that big ceiling as a receiver. Some of the guys on this panel are not the biggest believers in Musgrave. He had sort of a star-crossed career as far as like injuries and different stuff like that. But you can't deny the athleticism, 97 percentile athlete at 253 pounds and 6'6". So he'll help out that passing game.
Seattle at 52, Derek Brown, you're up next.
Well, Austin Blythe being gone, they have a clear need at center. I'm going to give them Joe Tippmann. He was eighth in PFF run blocking grade last year, top 24 in pass protection grades over the last two seasons. Would be a solid starter from day one.
Back to the north here at 53 with Chicago. Thor, that's you.
Yeah, we talked before during the first pick when we gave the Bears Peter Skoronski that they needed the defensive line help as well. Mozzie Smith from Michigan has fallen down here. Mozzie Smith was the number one freak on Bruce Feldman's annual freak list last summer. Interestingly, I mean, he the bench press and everything like that, he had good tests. Interestingly, he did not do the agility drills. I'm not exactly sure why, because he had these freaky numbers that Feldman had reported confirmed. But if he falls all the way down here, I think this would be an easy one for Chicago. He's going to plug a hole in your lineup immediately.
Trevor, you're up next at 54 with the Chargers.
Yeah, after getting speed on the offensive side of things, they're probably going to look to the defense, especially the defensive line. I mean, when Joey Bosa was out last year, they just showed how thin they were at edge rusher specifically. It was basically just Khalil Mack and nothing else. So they need somebody no matter what to get in that rotation, to have in that farm system. BJ Ojulari is one of my favorite pass rushers in this class from LSU. He already understands pass rushing so well going into the NFL at a level that not many do. He's got so many different moves that he can go to. He's got one of the best bend in the class. And so getting him to be in a rotation with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa is something that the Chargers would love.
Certainly an upgrade there for them on the defensive side. Detroit is at 55. Thor, that's you.
Speaking of the defensive side, for the Lions already, we've given them the cornerback Devin Witherspoon. We've given them that Pitt interior defensive lineman Kalijah Kancey. And then earlier this round, we gave them Keon White for the edge. But they still have more needs on defense. Their linebacker room isn't good, and it needs more athleticism. Trenton Simpson, the third linebacker off the board here, has fallen down. And he could fall down in the draft like this. Coming into the process, he was linebacker one on a lot of boards. But that was mostly based on the athletic profile. He shows you the versatility on the field. Clemson moved him around a whole bunch. They like to do that with their athletic guys. But he's super duper raw. You have that ceiling there. He might take a little bit of time. He's a high variance prospect. But at this point in the draft, with a linebacker room that needs some that infusion of athleticism, and with Detroit on their fourth pick, they can take the shot on trying to develop that kid.
All right, continuing on here, that's 56th Jacksonville Jaguars. That's you, Derek Brown.
Well, I gave a young, talented cornerback a running mate for long-term in Seattle. I'm going to do the same thing in Jacksonville, give Tyson Campbell somebody to run with on the outside. Julius Brents, cornerback out of Kansas State. You're looking at, again, Jacksonville's defense was almost 60% zone coverage last year. You got Brents, 27th lowest passer rating allowed in zone last year. I think that he could be a solid mid-tier starter with some upside in Jacksonville.
The Giants at 57, that's you, Trevor.
Yeah, slot defender, that's where I'm looking. Antonio Johnson, he's a uniquely built player. He's got good size and speed to him. He's one of those safeties that's converted into mainly just a nickel defender. Well, I shouldn't say just. I mean, these are very important players. And when you look at the Giants' cornerback room right now, both of their players, Cordell Flott and Darnay Holmes, they're slot guys, but they're smaller slot guys. So if they want to get more size in that area, getting Antonio Johnson to play for you at safety and also in the nickel is a really good bet for them to make.
All right, Thor, you've got two picks back-to-back. Let's start with 58, the Dallas Cowboys. Select who?
Yeah, for the Cowboys, we gave them Bijan in round one. Let's help out their running game even more. And with another in-state guy, we'll give them Steve Avila, the interior offensive line from TCU, a guy that has center and guard versatility, started at both for TCU. Last year, he was the left guard on the team that made the national title game. It looks like the Cowboys are going to switch Tyler Smith out to right tackle. They still have that hole then on the interior at guard if you do that. So Avila would plug that one for him. And then the next one, we got the Bills at 59. Mentioned earlier the wide receiver need, but we plugged the linebacker hole with the Bills in round one with Jack Campbell. This round, we're going to give them Marvin Mims from Oklahoma. I think Marvin Mims is a super-duper underrated prospect. All-time prep leader in Texas high school football history in terms of receiving yards. He was awesome as a true freshman. The past couple of years, the Oklahoma offensive situation, it just sort of went down the gutter with Lincoln leaving and Spencer Rattler going into the tank and all this stuff like that. And then last year with Venables and Dylan Gabriel. But Marvin Mims still acquitted himself well. He's a smaller receiver, yes, but he can win on the outside. Was a proven assassin outside in the Big 12. A big part of his market share comes down the field. He can also play in the slot. So whether you want him to just shove Shakir out of there or work in with Gabe Davis on the other side of Stephon Diggs, think he would be a really good fit for Buffalo there.
Okay, via trade at 60, the New England Patriots find themselves there. Trevor, what do they select?
I like Cedric Tillman here. Cedric Tillman gives them a wide receiver that they do not have on the roster, and that's a reliable, contested catch, bigger, stronger X type of receiver. I just don't feel like there's anybody on the roster who is reliable in that kind of a role right now. So Tillman would be somebody, if he were to be drafted in New England, could play right away and could play a pretty big role for him.
I would agree. They don't have that. They don't have a lot. 61, Chicago. Thor, that's back to you.
Yeah, we're gonna give them Felix. This is another one that's tough for me. The kid from Kansas State, Anadookie Azuma, I think. But they're, you know, as far as
Trevor,
the edge
can
rushing,
we verify that? I want to get
was close. He was close. It's Anadookie Azuma, but yeah, he was actually pretty close.
Trevor, please stay on for an hour after this show so we can do a pronunciation guide because I definitely
need a class. We need a remediation.
It's just hooked on phonics for draft prospect names.
There you go. There you go.
We could sell a course. But with Chicago, we gave them Mazie Smith with their last pick, but they need multiple immediate starters on the defensive front. Felix from Kansas State is one of the best edge rushers still on the board. Where that the edge rushing class is going to fall off a shelf in a little bit. So Chicago gets ahead of that by taking him.
Trevor, the Eagles at 62, do they continue going defense or they go back to the offensive side of the ball?
No, we're going offense. We're going pure speed. We're going with the track god that is Devon Achane in the backfield. Man, this would just be so much fun. I mean, this is an offense that has the passing weapons to stretch the field and lighten up the boxes, and then also the offensive line in front of them to be bulldozers. And so Achane is one of those players who I initially thought he was just a track guy that put on a football helmet, but that's not the case. And that was not giving him enough credit. And this past year, I think he really showed that no, he is a running back who just happens to also be a world-class track athlete. And so I do still think that his speed and his ability there is going to make him a top two round selection somewhere at the beginning of day two. And here with the Philadelphia Eagles, this is a team that can afford to add that kind of a player because of the rotation they already have.
Can he be a three down back in the NFL or no?
I don't think you're going to want him to be like just no need. Like the best version of Devon Achane is going to be somebody who is splitting time. And like some weeks, you know, he might get around 15 carries. Other weeks he might get 8. It just depends. Like, but I think no matter what, he will be best in a rotation anyways, because you don't want this guy getting beat up, especially getting lower body injuries or having to play through major injuries, because speed is still his main asset. He's more than just speed, but you don't want him to just get hurt and beat up, and then all of a sudden it just goes downhill way sooner than you need to. So I don't think you want him to be a three down back. Nothing about ability, but it's just you would want to preserve what he's able to bring to the table for you.
When you have a guy like Gainwell on the roster who's going to be like a Gio Bernard kind of guy, you know, that kind of works. And he can carry the ball 100 times a year and, you know, do some of the heavy lifting as well. All right, let's close out the second round here. Thor, let's leave on a high note here. The Kansas City Chiefs select who?
Yeah, in the first round, we plugged the edge rusher need because Miles Murphy had fallen down on the board to them. That was just a good value, but they still need that offensive tackle. Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley both left this offseason. The Chiefs did sign Juwan Taylor, but they could still use a tackle to push Lucas Niang on the other side. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, swears that he's being told that Tyler Steen is going to go in round two. Tyler Steen, clearly the best tackle on the board here. I think this would make a lot of sense for the Chiefs. You can have him compete with Niang in training camp. If he doesn't win, Steen's going to be your immediate backup at like four different positions. So he's going to get on the field as a rookie either way. We'll send him to Kansas City.
Now, if you just can't get enough NFL draft, and I know you can't because you stayed here all the way to the end of it, I urge you, go to fantasypros.com/draft guide. Check out the draft guide. Again, it's free. All the profiles, the mock drafts, the big boards, and our Discord is also live too, fantasypros.com/chat. We've got a lot of conversations going on there. People talk about who's going to take who. We want you to be a part of the family. Talk football with us. Play fantasy football with us over again. We've got an amazing event going on. We want you to be a part of the Fantasy Pros Championship FFPC Zone event. You can go and sign up today at fantasypros.com/championship and use that promo code FantasyPros for $25 off your first entry. So go there as well. And of course, congrats again to Ryan C for winning the big premium upgrade. Be like Ryan, drop a comment below, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Don't forget, we're going to be doing the draft live again this year on the Thursday, so be a part of it. youtube.com/fantasypros. Click that little bell till it goes ding for notifications and make sure you join us live for the draft. We are the number one second screen experience because we're breaking it down from the fantasy perspective the way you actually want to hear it, not just from the football perspective. We'll do that too because we're full service here. But if you don't want to wait for free stuff, go premium today at fantasypros.com/premium and start playing the best fantasy football of your life. Trevor, it's always great to have you on. Trevor Sikkema, ladies and gentlemen, is a joy to do shows with. He is great. Check out all his work at PFF and go follow him on the Twitter machine at Tampa Bay Trey. That's T-R-E, just in case you weren't sure. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Thor, D-Bro, and Trevor, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.